Let me lead us in prayer, then we'll read Luke chapter 2. Father, it's so easy to become inured to the message of Christmas, that the Almighty God would enter our world for our good. And so lift our eyes now again, we pray. Help us to understand rightly how extraordinary it would be that the Creator should enter his creation and be willing to suffer and die. Help us, be with us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon. Christmas in Mayfair. Last week, of course, came the royal announcement, an early Christmas present for the media. Haven't they enjoyed it? And of course, it's the season as well for all things nativity. So I was at my son's Christmas show. He's in year one, age five. I was at his Christmas show at school last week. Very much a show. That was how it was built, rather than a classic nativity. A certain amount of extra biblical material has sort of crept into the proceedings. No lobster, I have to say. I always look out for the lobster now. But in large part, still very much a retelling of the Christmas story as we know it. And then, of course, also in the media, although perhaps not quite grabbing the headlines that William and Kate did last week, there was another good news story, a thoroughly modern nativity that caught my eye with the announcement of another baby. I don't know if you saw this in the Evening Standard a couple of weeks ago. Waitrose makes the delivery as baby is born in Canary Wharf. Canary Wharf is celebrating the birth of the first baby in its 20-year history after a woman went into labour outside Waitrose. It's the story of a couple where a pregnant mum, waters broke at home, went to hospital, but hospital said, no, still not ready, it'll be a while, you'd be best going home. So there they were in Canary Wharf. The supermarket that prides itself on customer service rose to the occasion. Let's be honest, you wouldn't choose to have your baby on the shop floor of the supermarket. But if it had to be one of the sort of major high street chains, you would go with a branch of the John Lewis Partnership, wouldn't you? They're not going to let you down. Canary Wharf security officers googling how to deliver a baby. Shop staff providing duvets and towels from the store's shelves. Let's face it, duvets, towels, John Lewis every time, isn't it? Waitrose, finest Egyptian cotton for those towels. They'll have been well looked after. Daphne Bolas gave birth on the floor of Waitrose. She and her husband, the Reverend Tim Bolas, have given their new son Matthew, that's an excellent choice of name, isn't it? I thought that was very good. The middle name of John, in honour of the John Lewis Group, which owns. This is a nativity, people. This is the significance of the name. Don't we always say that? The significance of the name in the nativity. They consider their early arrival a Christmas miracle. And we read on. There's even a sprinkling of religion. Again, it's a thoroughly modern nativity. So Mr. Bolas, dad, husband, is a minister with the Agape Christian Fellowship in Manor Park. He said, "We went to Nando's and had some dinner." This is having been sort of sent home from hospital. "And then we went to meet my sister and my aunt who works in Waitrose." A little of this, I thought. On the three occasions my wife has been in labour, it's never occurred to me to say, "Shall we go and see your sister at work?" But that is what they chose to do here. So that's how they ended up in Waitrose, having had dinner at Nando's. It's a little bit odd, but there you go. And he tells of the experience. Dad, I found some security staff and they were great. One of them took control and started Googling how to deliver a baby. All the big brands, Nando's, Google, Waitrose. And then others went off and got screens and duvets and things. And again, you see in Waitrose, those men and women with the nice green aprons, you ask them, you know, a bit of a situation, my wife's in there, we need some screens and duvets. And they know which aisle it is. They go and get it for you, they don't need you. Other supermarkets, you just don't get looked after like that, do you? You're very glad at this point to be in Waitrose. All of this happened in 10 minutes. And he reports, my wife actually said she felt more comfortable with this birth than she did with our first son in the hospital. I mean, yeah, NHS, are you listening? The John Lewis partnership was stepped up and delivered him. It was actually a wonderful experience in some ways because the people around us were crying when Matthew was... I bet they were crying. I mean, you've just popped out to get something for dinner. You turn into the cold meat aisle and there's... I think I'd be crying as well. And the couple returned... I like this bit. The couple returned to Canary Wharf the following day. They were in hospital overnight with their new son where they were given vouchers from Waitrose. Now, gold, frankincense, myrrh, I'm sure they had their place. I don't know if the wise men kept the receipts, but vouchers are just so much more practical, aren't they? Because then you can get something you really want. It is a thoroughly modern nativity, and they called it a Christmas miracle. And it's nice as well because it's for the man in the street. We all can relate to that, or at least those who shop at Waitrose. That's not everybody, of course, but you know, it's kind of for everybody. And so too was last week's royal announcement as well. Good news for all the people. Not quite a birth, of course, but that will come, we trust, in the next year. And when it does, it will be for all the people. And our reading today from Luke's Gospel and his account, Luke's account of the first Christmas, has a royal announcement that is for all the people as well. And in it we see what and who Christmas is all about. And we see how people react as well. So first, what? What is this announcement all about? Well, there they are, these shepherds out in the fields working the night shift. And in verse 9, to set the scene, an angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? I can understand that. We of course, when we read angel, we think of innocent looking children, all in white with a bit of tinsel and some clip on wings. My son last week wore a white England rugby kit with a bit of tinsel. Today, that's an angel. Apparently that was fine. But here in Luke's Gospel, this is not that. This is something much more significant. This is a messenger from God surrounded by dazzling white light. It is blinding. And in this voice, this huge voice, he says, he makes this announcement. No wonder these shepherds are terrified. And yet, look with me at verse 10. But, verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So that is what this is all about. It's good news of great joy for all the people. So good news of great joy. Literally the word here is gospel. That's what good news is. Means it's gospel. Gospel means good news. Not good advice, not popular opinion, not media speculation, rather good news. It's very striking that, isn't it? The gospel, the message of Christianity, is good news. Now, it was a pregnancy, not a birth, of course, last week, but when St. James's Palace announced to the world that the Duchess of Cambridge was expecting, in a statement, by the way, issued at 4:01 on the 3rd of December, recorded in history, just like these events 2,000 years ago. It wasn't released as a statement of advice or as a royal opinion, but as a royal announcement. It was news. And, of course, naturally enough, it was good news. Both families were said to be, quote, delighted with the news. Just picture it. It's not that the royal family, or the Middleton family indeed, were sitting around at home over lunch discussing William, you know, I reckon she's pregnant, you know, she didn't touch a drop at the weekend. Do you think no? I think no. No, I'm sure you can tell. I'm sure she... It wasn't speculation. This was news, and the family were delighted. And leaving the surroundings of St. James's Palace and going back to the Waitrose shop floor, in that Standard article, a spokesman for Canary Wharf Group, it's not quite the same, I know, told the Evening Standard, we're delighted to announce the first birth on the estate. Different kind of estate, really, to Sandringham, I guess, but he wasn't speculating, he was announcing. It was news. And it's the same here. This angel, this messenger from God, is very clear. It's not speculation, it's not a horoscope, not an opinion piece. No, Christianity is good news. Now, I don't know what your impression has been of Christianity, quite possibly not a very positive one, if the mainstream media is anything to go by. When we come across Christian things in the mainstream media today, so often it's not positive. But when we come to the Bible itself, we find that actually it's a very positive story. It's good news. And it's good news of great joy. So the Times headline last week, at least one of them, said, "World reacts with joy to royal pregnancy." In the Telegraph, "World rejoices at news of royal baby." And a quick roundup of the global media showed that to be true. We haven't even had the birth yet, and yet newspapers across the world were running the story. Photographers were dispatched to the hospital to provide the pictures. And here in this passage, the reaction to the birth of this baby is the same. It's great joy. In Luke's Gospel, by the way, the word joy is always very closely associated with the idea of salvation and the presence of Jesus. We'll see more of that in a moment. But before we even get there, I wonder if we miss this ourselves sometimes. Again, I don't know what's been your impression of Christianity. It may not have been something very positive. It may not have been something that elicits great joy. A boredom, maybe, or a sense of irrelevance. Maybe even a sense of irritation, slightly. But joy? Has that been your experience? I don't know. If it hasn't been, our passage today says, think again. Christianity is good news of great joy. And this good news of great joy will be, says the angel, for all the people. It's for everyone. That, of course, is the joy, isn't it, with a royal baby. We all get to share in it. 18 months ago, the royal wedding was something that the whole nation enjoyed. I don't know where you were. I watched it in Hyde Park on a big screen with my family. I wasn't in the Abbey, but I still very much felt a part of it. It was for all of us. It was for all the people. And even more so, it will be the case with a royal baby. We all get to celebrate it. Bookmakers and retailers, it would seem, are included in that. They're busy already. Up and down the country, everyone's talking about it. It doesn't matter what newspaper you read or what your politics are. This is for everyone. So the headlines may differ. Nappian Glorious, by the way, was the Sun's offering. Thank you for the Sun. We're always grateful for them, aren't we? But the story's the same. And it's for everyone. And let's be honest, as we head for another austerity Christmas, we're all grateful for some good news that we can call our own. And you see the angel's announcement here to these terrified shepherds, they can call it their own. It's for everyone. It's for all of Israel, 2,000 years ago, and not just the privileged few. I don't know if you've ever thought much about that. Christianity is for all people. It's for the religious and the non-religious. For those of other faiths, for those of no faith. It's for good people. Good people with tidy lives. You know the sort. Sort of respectable middle class pillars of the community. Nice careers. Neat families. Involved in local charities. Church on Sundays. Christianity is for them. Christianity is also for bad people. People with messy lives. Complicated circumstances. A difficult past. Awkward relationships. Baggage. Christianity is for them as well. Christianity is for all people. Which means, and this is good news, isn't it? It means it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you're like. It doesn't matter what accent you have. It doesn't matter what you've done. This announcement is for you. And some of us here need to hear this. Because we think we don't deserve it. We don't think we're qualified. Well, today, this is for us. And some of us here need to hear it because we don't think we need it. We think we'll be fine without it. But again, we need to hear today, this is for us. All of us, you see, need to hear it. So Christianity, Christmas, is good news of great joy for all the people. That's what it is all about, this royal announcement. Second, who? Who is this announcement all about? Well, for that we need to look at verse 11, because the angel spells it out here. If you look with me at verse 11, "Today," he says, "in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Now, for the royal baby, of course, people are already busy talking about the name. This is from yesterday. William Hill were quoting 10-1 for George and Victoria as the favourites. The longest odds I could find, by the way, just in case you're interested, were for a girl. You can get 1,000-1. You never know, might be worth it on the Duke and Duchess going with either Waynetta or Chardonnay. You never know. You never know. Methinks one would not be amused, but it would be fun, wouldn't it? Twins, by the way, at 11-2, ginger hair at 8-1. I've got other odds if you'd like them afterwards. Punters are busy trying to guess the name. But the title, of course, is clear. He or she will be HRH, the Prince or Princess of Cambridge. But the thing with this baby here in Luke's Gospel is that there's no speculation at all, and yet a whole lot more significance. So we know the name. Luke records that in chapter 1. You are to call him Jesus. And we know the title here in chapter 2. This baby is a Saviour, Christ the Lord. These are titles. That's who this baby is. And it is far more significant than HRH of Cambridge. So he's a Saviour, this baby, a rescuer. That's what this word means. A rescuer. He has come to rescue his people. But why? What do they need rescuing from? What do we need rescuing from if this is for us as well? Well, you see, the Bible tells us, indeed, this baby, as he becomes a man, he himself will tell those who will listen to him, that we, need rescuing from our rebellion against God. That's what the Bible calls sin. And we need rescuing from the consequences of that rebellion, what the Bible calls judgment. You see, our natural attitude towards God, whether we've realised it or not, is to reject him. We rebel against his authority. We put God out of the picture and we choose to run our lives as we see fit. So we want personal autonomy, don't we, over every aspect of our lives. Nobody can tell me what to think. Nobody can tell me what to believe or what to do. I will run my life how I see fit according to a moral standard that I will set. And I will judge whether or not I've met that standard. That is what the Bible calls sin. And the result? Well, we get the world we ask for. We get a world where everyone chooses to live as they please. And that may have a very respectable middle class look and feel to it, or maybe something else entirely. But whatever the case, we're just living as we please. And you don't need to spend long in the newspapers to see what a mess we've made of it. And so the result of our sin is that we face God's judgment, and that is what we need rescuing from. We need rescuing from the judgment we deserve. And here in this announcement to these shepherds, this is it. This baby is the rescuer we need, says the angel. But the rescue comes at a price. I was reading just this morning of a rescue, a very real rescue in which one man paid the ultimate price for the life of another. So for the family of Petty Officer First Class Nicholas Check, this Christmas will be the one they never forget. Nicholas Check was 28 years old, a US Navy SEAL, veteran of 10 years. On Saturday he was killed rescuing an American doctor working for an NGO in Afghanistan. He was a member of SEAL Team 6, that's the unit who took down Osama bin Laden. Distinguished career in the American military, Bronze Star, several other awards for bravery. But last Saturday, he paid the ultimate price on Saturday night in Afghanistan. I was buying a Christmas tree on Saturday morning with my children. He was killed by a single bullet while storming a compound where Dr. Dilip Joseph was being held. Now, the raid was sanctioned after intelligence reports suggested that Dr. Joseph's life was now in imminent danger and they needed to do something. So he had to be rescued that night. His two Afghan colleagues who were held with him, they had been released, but Dr. Joseph was still being held. And NATO intelligence picked up that the chances are he was either going to be killed or sold or handed over to insurgents and moved into Pakistan. So suddenly, the danger level went up. This man needed rescuing. So SEAL Team 6 got the green light. So for the Joseph family, well, it was good news of great joy. Theirs, in large part, I guess, will be a happy Christmas. But for him to live, another man had to die in his place. And so it took the sacrifice of Nicholas Check. And that is why Jesus is announced here to the shepherds as a saviour at Christmas. Because he would later die in our place on Good Friday to take the punishment we deserve. That's the rescue. His life for ours. And I guess, therefore, Dr. Joseph won't find it hard to appreciate his rescue. I guess he will be very thankful for the sacrifice of Petty Officer Check, because he knew he was in danger. He knew his life was in danger. You see, you're only grateful for a rescue, aren't you, if you know your life is in danger. I mean, it sounds absurd, doesn't it, the idea that you would turn down a rescue. You can hear the helicopter outside, you hear the shouts and the gunfire, the stun grenade, the smoke, the door bursts open, and a familiar accent saying, "Dr. Joseph, US forces, we're here to get you out, please come with us." Actually, I'm alright, thank you. I think I'll probably just stay here, actually. Give my love to everyone at home, but it's absurd, isn't it? When you know you're in danger, when you know you need a rescue, you do not turn it down. It sounds absurd, but all around us in London today, that is what people are doing. It's what they're saying. No thanks. I'm busy next week, actually. I probably won't come to the car service. Thanks, but I'm alright. Do you have colleagues doing that? Do you know people saying that to you? I'm alright, thanks. I'll stay here, thanks. I've lived quite a tidy life, actually. I'll be fine. But the truth is, we all need to be rescued. It's good news for all people. And Jesus is the rescuer. This baby is a saviour. And then as we look at these titles again, he is Christ the Lord. Christ is Greek for the Hebrew word Messiah, anointed one. And this is all happening, we're told, in the town of David. So Bethlehem, we're talking about, as in King David. There are royal connotations here. So this is our headline. This was City AM a couple of weeks ago. The city has a new king. 27th of November, announcing Mark Carney as the new governor of the Bank of England. Who'd want that job, hey? Good luck to him in the new year. The city has a new king. That was the headline. Then notice, of course, that it's news, not speculation. I mean, I know it's City AM, but, you know, it is news, not speculation. And the announcement that this baby is a king says to these shepherds that he has come to rule. So he is the rescuing ruler. He is the saviour king. The town of David has a new king. This city has a new king. Sometime in July next year, all being well, it will either leak or be announced that the Duchess of Cambridge has been admitted to hospital. And a watching world will wait and the photographers will descend. The news of the royal arrival. And there will be a press release and an official announcement. There will be good news of great joy for all the people. But it will only announce the arrival of a prince or a princess. Whereas the angel here in this passage is announcing to these shepherds something far bigger, because this is the arrival of a king. But not just any king. I mean, let's be honest, the royal prince or princess. Yes, indeed, even a princess now might one day take to the throne as king or queen. But what is special about this king is that he is Christ the Lord. This word Lord here speaks of a divine relationship with God. This baby is sovereign over all things. This baby, the angel is saying, this king, is God himself. The angel knows exactly what he's saying here. Luke knows what it is he's recording. Lord here means God. A divine rescuer who has come to rule. So who's it all about? Christianity. Christmas is about a saviour, Christ the Lord. That's the announcement. That's the angel's part done and dusted. But what's the reaction? Well, in nativity terms, the focus now moves from the tinsel to the tea towels, from the angels to the shepherds, who say to one another in verse 15, let's just look briefly at these two reactions. Let's go to Bethlehem. This is the first one. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so we read that they hurried off. And in verse 16, they found it was just as they'd been told, a saviour king, a baby lying in a manger. The angel, it seems, was right. And it's interesting, isn't it? Any announcement usually provokes a reaction, whether big or small. Say, interest rates remain unchanged last week. No great reaction, really, in this climate. No great surprise. People were expecting that. Cold weather, frost overnight. This time of year, no one expected. None of us ran out of our houses to check this morning, I take it. So no great reaction to news like that. But good news for all the people of a saviour king. Well, that gets a reaction. So what do the shepherds do? They go and check that out. Let's go and see this thing that has happened. They don't ignore it or tell the angel to go away. Equally, to be fair, nor do they just blindly believe. They go and check it out. And for some of us here, that's what we'll need to do. We'll want to check it out. We'll want to come to the carol service next week. We'll want to be back here next term. We'll want to keep talking to Christian colleagues so we can check this out.
this is not the kind of announcement you just ignore. You go and see, as the shepherds did. And then we read that having done so in verse 17, the shepherds didn't keep the good news of great joy to themselves. No, because they remembered that it was for all the people. So when they had seen him, verse 17, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. When they had seen him, they spread the word. You see, when you've seen it, when you know it's true, when you know it's the best news ever, you spread the word. You've just got to share it. And for some of us here, that is what we need to do, isn't it? For some of us here, we need to share this with our colleagues, with our friends. When you go back to your desk this afternoon, tell colleagues where you've been. Tell them something about what you've heard. Give them one of these and invite them to the carol service next week. Be at the Tube on Tuesday or Wednesday next week, inviting people, spreading the word, because this announcement is for all the people. Good news of great joy. Enjoy it for yourself this Christmas. Check it out if it's new to you. Share it with others if you know it to be true for yourself. Let me pray. Good news of great joy for all the people. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of a story that for many of us will be familiar. But we pray that you would help us not to gloss over them as just another part of Christmas. Rather, would you help us to see that Christianity is indeed good news? Would you help us to see that there is great joy in knowing the Lord Jesus? And Father, if that's us today, if we know you, then would you remind us that this is for all the people? And therefore, would you give us a desire to share it with those around us? And Father, if we're still looking into these things, well, would you help us to see that this is so serious, our need for a rescue is so serious, that we need to go and see. We need to go and check this out for ourselves, as the shepherds did all those years ago. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.